Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. I am Cody. Continuing on with our theme of the month, Guillermo del Toro movies. This week, we're going to do Blade 2. Unlike the other movies that are on this list, or on this month's topic, this one wasn't written by him. It was directed only by him. Not all the gripes that I have about it are totally his fault, and some of them are his fault, I think. But for the most part, it's actually, it's a fun movie. That's why I put it on the list. Just because of the attitudes that go on it. But anyways, Blade 2. Way back in the day in 2002, that's 16 years ago for the people doing the math at home, So the person who wrote is David S. Goyer. If you don't know who David S. Goyer is, David S. Goyer has done a lot of stuff that you may have heard of, especially if you're friends of mine or people who like the movies I like. Writer, so his most prevalent, so he wrote all three Blade movies. So he also directed the last one. He wrote Batman Begins. He wrote Dark Knight. Well, he did the story for Dark Knight, but not the actual screenplay. That was done by Chris Nolan, and I believe his brother did that one too with him. He unfortunately wrote Ghost Rider's Spirit of Vengeance. Again, not all his fault. He did the story for Dark Knight Rises because he originally did the story for all three of the Dark Knight movies. And then obviously some things had to change because of a passing of an actor on there. But he wrote the Man of Steel movie. He wrote Batman v Superman. He's right now working on the Green Lantern Corps movie. Some other fan favorites. One of my favorite movies of all time, which is Dark City. If you've never seen that movie is rad as fuck. Television wise, he actually wrote and help create the new Krypton series coming to the Sci-Fi Channel, which actually looks pretty interesting. He did a show called Da Vinci's Demons, which was on Stars. He wrote a handful of them. He didn't write all of them. He helped create that one, that show. He unfortunately wrote and produced the ill-fated Blade TV series because of his work with the movies. He did the pilot episode and the finale, which is, they're all of them are terrible, so it doesn't really matter. Then he also helped create and write the Constantine show that was on CW for a while, or not on CW, on NBC, which should have been on CW because it would have fit in and probably would still be around. He wrote the pilot episode and like a couple other episodes of that too. One or two, whatever it was. So that's David S. Goyer. He's done a lot of things. He's worked a lot in the comic book realm, as you can possibly imagine with the ones I just gave you. But the standout to this particular, I guess you could say, movie, obviously Wesley Snipes is phenomenal as Blade. Not the perfect Blade. He's better than Sticky Fingers Jones, who played the Blade in the TV show. But he's a lot more karate than Blade ever really was. But still pretty fun movie. My gripes with this movie is they tried to do too much with CG. And in 2002, CG was really expensive to do well. And they did not spend enough money on it. This whole movie, budget-wise, was $54 million. That, my friends, is a drop in the hat. Nowadays for a comic book movie of this scale. So you can tell you how much they went back. A lot is practical effects, which obviously is a big thing with Guillermo del Toro and all his movies. He loves practical effects. So a lot of that, but a lot of animatronics as well. With the, you don't know the premise of the movie. There's a Reaper virus that is basically spreading through the vampire community, causing this mutation in vampires to become Reapers, and Reapers are they burn through their food source really fast, and they also transmit to vampires. Hence the reason it's a virus, much like the way they do the virus in the vampiric virus in these movies, anyways. But they transform; their body loses all hair, their lower jaw splits and becomes two pieces that has a tongue that comes out, and they don't have any of the weaknesses, like that of the other vampires. So if you decapitate them, their head still lives; the body goes on until it starves. The only way to kill them is with light. So, you know, one weakness that they have. Or I do believe a piercing the heart with silver or wood. But the way this works is the mutation causes bone growth around the heart. So it's very hard to get a stake through very dense bone. So it makes them a little hard to kill, because you can shoot them all you want with silver bullets and, nah, man, they don't give a shit. Much like a lot of the other Guillermo del Toro movies, there's a lot of visual stuff in these movies. There's a part where they go to a lair where they're basically tracking these Reapers down, trying to find them. And in this, it's very Guillermo del Toro. It's like crazy dance party, sex place. So if you've ever seen the first movie, there's a part where they go to the rave, and there's like a bloodbath thing. It's very, you know, underground, and this one's hidden, and people are doing like bondage stuff, and they're cutting each other and like flaying skin off themselves. It's like a pleasurable thing, you know, pleasure and pain sort of thing like that. So that's very, very dark and very, very grim, which is a big thing that Guillermo del Toro is into. He's like a lot of that, you know, subculture type stuff. So he emphasizes a lot in his movies, especially in this movie. In the same way he did, like, we'll talk about it too, and like Hellboy did the same thing with the market and stuff, where it's like this, you know, away from normal humans, the creatures have different habits, and there looks odd to us, but you know, it's pretty normal to them, that sort of thing. One of the best parts of this movie is Ron Perlman. His character is fantastically racist in this movie. He plays one of the vampire, I guess really they're like a special ops group that was being trained to come after Blade. Eventually, they're called the Blood Pack. It's this group of highly trained vampires, and their whole purpose was to kill Blade. But they joined forces with them in the meantime to try to take down the Reapers, because they have a hard time tracking them and killing them, and so they enlist him. But obviously, they're bad guys, so not good things are gonna happen. By the way, spoiler alert. This movie is 16 years old. If I'm ruining it for you, it means you haven't watched it, and you should go watch it because it's fun. And I'll get to my gripes towards the end, because they're CG based, and it's nothing to take away from the movie. The movie starts off very Blade style, where he's basically going after something, and it ends up he's going after Whistler, who is his partner. If you remember from the first movie, he got ravaged by vampires, and before he could turn, he told Blade to give him a gun, and you hear him shoot himself. Well, you hear the sound make you think he shot himself. But to reverse that, in this movie, to bring Chris Christopherson's Whistler back, because you really need him for, you need Whistler for these movies to go on, because like he's the driving force between the tech and the things that drives Blade to do what he does. Because of their being attacked by vampires, they actually grab him and they turn him. So he heals from the gunshot wound that was going to kill him. And then they keep him, and they basically keep kind of reviving him and bleeding him dry, and then reviving and bleeding him dry. And so Blade, after almost 3 years of searching for him, finds him, kills a bunch of vampires in some dope ass ways to get Whistler out. Some of the best action scenes in this movie come from this opening scene. The rest are blah, okay, until the short fight scene between Nessa and Blade, which I'll get to in a minute, and of course the end scene, the end fight scene, with Novak, which is the bad guy in this particular one. But so the beginning, he comes into this den, and he's basically trying to piece together where Whistler's at, and so he just wrecks shop with his machine pistols and his stakes and his karate. There's this one scene in the beginning, though, in this fight scene that still bothers me because it's kind of cheeseball. So in martial arts, to get, you'll see in a lot of movies, well, they'll run up on a wall like with one jump and then use that for leverage to jump above somebody, or like push off of it for power. So he does this, but it's like a skip up on the wall and then barely pushes off. It's really unnecessary. It's kind of shitty looking because like it doesn't look very good at all. I mean, you know, whatever. I'm not saying it's going to ruin the movie for anybody, but man, oh man, it is rough. Besides that little fact, the action scene in that part is pretty cool because he's busting through vampires like they're standing still, shooting through them with his silver laced bullets, and it's when he's staking them. And in the realm of the Blade movies, you don't have to pierce him through the heart, or decapitate him to just kill him. In this, they can shoot them with silver bullets, and it causes them to die. Which is kind of shitty because all you have to do is like wing them and they would die, which is weird. I think they address it in one of the movies. I know it wasn't in this one, where they lace the bullets with something, silver nitrate or something. So when it hits, it puts it in the blood into their body and of course burns them up. So you shoot them and it's like, you know, engulfing silver into them. So whatever. But I digress. Again, little things. Just visually, it looks cool because you shoot them and they start to burn into ash and stuff. It's pretty cool. And then when he tells this one guy that if he tells him what he does, he'll leave him for later. He'll consider him a loose end. And of course he does. And then he's going to go kill him. And then he's like, ooh. And then he goes on and kills him, kills a bunch of other people. And that dude gets away after a pretty cool bike scene, actually, which is pretty fun. Another one of those scenes where it could have been a little better, but, you know, real people and not doing feats of strength. That's the thing with Blade and these movies. It's only till the end when he gets powered up from blood where he becomes super strong. Well, technically, he's supposed to be super strong, but because he uses the serum instead of actual blood, he's not as strong, but he's actually supposed to be just as strong. And that's what actually would make him even more deadly, is if he was on blood, he'd be stronger than most vampires. So he's supposed to be able to match their intensity and strength while being on the serum. But again, I digress. That's something for the movies. I wasn't chosen to write them, and I wasn't chosen to make them, so I don't get to make that call. But whatever. That's just me. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's always what I got from the comic books and stuff. So, you know, whatever. Whatever. I would say other cool things in this. Oh, excuse me one second real quick. All right, I'm back. If it sounds better, some things went down. Apparently I was not recording properly. So if the first half of this is going to be very low, second one's going to be a little bit higher. I don't know what happened, but I'm back. Plus I had a weird dryness in my throat I couldn't get rid of, so I was coughing a little bit there. You know, some dry mouth and all. Not cotton mouth, just dry mouth. I'm, come on now. Anyways, the action in this particular movie, like I said, there's probably five. I mean, you could group the gunfight scene and stuff all together. There's the sewer scene. There's like five or six scenes really of action, but they're kind of marred with subpar fighting choreography. And I don't know if it's like just Wesley Snipes was getting too old for it and didn't want to do it, or they didn't want to wire trick him or something. I don't know. Later on, when him and Novak are both juiced up and powerful, they're slamming each other around and doing jumps, and it looks kind of terrible. And then later, like in the Paranessa and the and what's his face, the other leader of the Blood Pack show up. Nessa and him are having a sword fight in front of this bank of giant, as they call godlights. They do CG for some of it, and it looks kind of shitty because it has that super rubbery body where their elbows don't line up and they like curved arms and shit, you know. Whatever, it's cool to watch, but man, it is does not live up to current stuff. But obviously, a lot of shit's happened in 16 years. The realm of sci-fi stuff. So, you know, whatever. It's not, can't really say it's, you know, that terrible, but it wasn't that great either. But whatever, doesn't matter. So then he joins with them, kind of like this uneasy pack, and there's this, like, they bring him to meet the vampire lord, Damaskinos, and you find out that Nessa is his daughter, who's the princess-ish in a way, like, I don't know if she wants to, if you want to, they call him a vampire lord. He's super old and see-through skin. Looks super dope. And I thought it was an older actor, but it's actually a young guy at the time. Who I could probably tell you his name, is Thomas Kretschmann. I don't know. I'm terrible with names. So that might not even be it, at all. He's been in a few things, nothing crazy. I mean, he's 55 now. He's born in 62, but take 16 years off that, he's not as old as he was. But he was in King Kong. He was in a lot of the small things. He was actually probably for y'all listen to this show. He played Baron von Strucker in Captain America's Winter Soldier and Avengers Age of Ultron's to do with the fucked up eye who had the Loki pokey stick and converted and made both Scarlet, well, essentially made both Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. If you remember that part at the end of Winter Soldier, he was part of that. He was also a big part of the whole program that helped make Winter Soldier, but he wasn't, not directly though, not with the Ruskies, but or with the Russians and everything, but part of it. But he was in that. He's been in some other stuff too, but it's, you know, whatever. And he's in a bit part in this. He's pretty cool because he's all gross and stuff, but it's all vampired out. So you have Wesley Snipes, Kris Kristofferson, you have Ron Perlman, you have Norman Reedus, babyface Norman Reedus, if you know him as Daryl from The Walking Dead. Then you have a multiple movie collaborator with Luke Goss. He's worked with Guillermo del Toro. He played the prince in Hellboy 2, which we'll talk about next week, next week's episode, Hellboy 1 and 2. And then, of course, a young, often forgot was in this movie, Donnie Yen, who plays Snowman. Why they call him that? I don't know. He's mute, so. But I don't know why they call him Snowman. He's not white. He's not frozen. I have no idea. Whatever. He also served as the fight choreographer for the film. So when I say bad fight choreography, it's not Donnie Yen's fault. I think it's just not working with the best. I think they CG'd a lot of it too, so it's not really his fault, completely his fault. But the fight scenes are pretty fun. Like I said earlier, they're just not great. And that's nothing against Tony Yen or Donnie Yen. It's just not as good as they could have been. But again, because that comes down to the spending the money and time and doing it with real people. You have part of the Blood Pack. So he's part of the Blood Pack. I mentioned that. Ron Perlman is too. He plays Dieter Reinhardt, who is the leader of the Blood Pack, who follows behind Nessa and her partner, whose name is Assad, right? Yeah. They're like nobility type vampires. Luke Goss again plays the main vampire, Jared Nomak. I said Novak earlier. That's a totally different movie. Ends up being the brother of Nessa and the son of Ellie, who's the vampire lord I was talking about earlier. When it comes out to the fact that these vampires actually created the Reaper strain, it got out of control because they were trying to create a superior race of vampires to essentially go against all the the bad things that that their weaknesses, you know, sunlight and silver and wooden stakes and all that fun stuff. And of course, obviously, getting a hold of Blade would be the ultimate because, well, I mean, he walks in the day. That's why they call him Daywalker. Because, you know, if they think they can figure it out, everyone thinks, oh, I can figure it out if I just have his blood. I don't think that's not how it works. But anyways, they can try to figure it out. They had decades and centuries of science behind them. So obviously they have, like, you know, better science. So that was their big scheme but all along. They just needed him to help them track down them. But really, ultimately, they were tricking him into coming to them, and they're just going to fucking kill him. But the back and forth between Ron Perlman and Ron Perlman's character, Reinhardt, and Wesley Snipes' Blade is really good because there's a lot of rivalry in there. It's pretty spectacular. And then, so part of the, so the Blood Pack is Blood Pact. I can't talk apparently. Is Reinhardt? It's Nessa. It's Assad. It's Choppa. It's Snowman, who's Donnie Yen's character. There's Verlaine, who's a the lover of Lighthammer, who's the other guy that's in it. Big hulking motherfucker. Dude just he has a giant axe with a pike that comes out of the back of it, which is pretty cool. And then Pete, Priest, and which is pretty cool. Priest is one of, I think he's the first one to die. And his, they show him what they using his death because he converts over really quickly from being bitten by one of the Reapers. And the cool thing about them, what they do to him is they're going to kill him. So just to help, to basically save him from being turned, Choppa shoots him a couple times in the chest and he doesn't die because he's already turned. And so Snowman throws Reinhardt his sword and he chops through his brain, which is supposed to kill him, destroying the brain, right? Well, it doesn't. It splits off and he's still alive. And so Blade says, stand back, shoots two holes in the wall. Light comes in and the body burns up, but it doesn't hit part of the head that was chopped off and it's still alive and it's blinking at him. And you can see the brain pulsating. It's pretty crazy. And there's a really cool scene where they capture a dying Reaper and they do an autopsy on him. And so they get to see the opening of the lower jaw and the mandibles. It's really cool practical effect. And Norman Reedus gets to be all queasy in that and kind of they call him a pussy. It's pretty funny in that. So, oh, his name is Scud in this, by the way. And he's a turncoat. That rain is loud. If you guys can hear that, it's rain in the background. I don't know if you can hear that or not. It's raining tonight. Overall, the movie's fun. It's not the worst of the Blade movies. The third one's definitely the worst, if you ask me. This one does have a different feel from the first one and the second one, or third one. The first one's very, I mean, it was fucking super low budget on that one. I'm going to see what the budget on that one was. $45 million, so a little bit less than what we, that they used on this one. And then, of course, it did, for the time, it did a rated R comic book movie, did really well. It did $131 million, so more than doubled, tripled, essentially the, right? Almost tripled? Yeah, a little bit over tripled. It'd be $120 million if it's $40 million, whatever. It's almost tripled, if not tripled. I could do the math, but I'm not going to. Its budget, so obviously they wanted to do a sequel. It took them 4 years, which is crazy. Nowadays, it's just unheard of to wait 4 years to do it, but back then, you got to get the money together and get that shit put together. But Blade 1 will always be my favorite just because it's a really fun story they did in it, and Steven Dorff's in it, and it's my dog. And then of course Blade Trinity, skyrocketed the budget to $65 million and didn't even double it for the box office, $128 million, the box office, by far the worst. It had potential to be the best, but yeah, not good. Ryan Reynolds' first, foray into the comic book realm. This is considered one of his misfires with comic book movies. but it had a lot of people in it. It had Jessica Alba, Chris Christopherson came back for a little bit, Dominic Purcell from Prison Break, as well as the CW shows, the Flash and stuff, Flash and Arrow and Legends of DC. He plays Dracula or Drake in this. So Jessica Biel, Ryan Reynolds, Parker Posey, Triple H, the wrestler is in it. You have Patton Oswalt's in it. A lot of good people are in this one too. It just, the reason it failed is not because of any one real big thing. It's the fact that it's just, the story was kind of garbage. It was like a really terrible rehash of the first two movies, where like this big group of vampires were doing all these things. I don't know. It's not great. Not the best work David Goyer has ever done, but again, I don't know if it's totally his fault or not, but he did direct this one, so visually could be his fault too. Some pretty terrible CG in this one, but again, that's just, you know, budget wise and fun stuff like that. But yeah, back to Blade 2. Lukasz has been other things too. I totally skipped over Lukasz and talk about Lukasz. We'll talk a little bit more about him next week's episode too, when we talk about Hellboy and Hellboy 2. I'm going to put those two together. He's done a lot of things that you may have not recognized him from, but he's been in a bunch of stuff. He was in a couple TV shows, but he was in, well, I mean, I'm not going to say his best performance is Steve Fox in Tekken, but he was in Tekken. He played Frankenstein in one of the Death Races, Death Race 2. Took over for the role from Jason Statham. He also played in Death Race 3. So he's been in a bunch. I mean, he's been in a bunch of stuff. But he's not like, you know, oh, you should know, you should see him from, you should recognize him from this or whatever. It's never, not at all. Other than the fact that he played Prince, the bad guy Prince, spoiler alert, in Hellboy 2, the Golden Army. But yeah, he's, you know, he looks kind of like Pitbull if you see a picture of him, like a white Pitbull, whiter Pitbull. But you know, whatever. Pretty cool. Yeah, it's Lukasz. Chris Christopherson, if you don't know who Chris Christopherson is, that seems like a shame. Older actor. He's been in a lot of things. He's also a musician of sorts. Country music, I believe, is technical genre. Technically his genre. Movie-wise, he's been in a lot of things. Besides the Blade movies. Most notably, trying to think what's most notable for him. Well, Big Top Pee Wee's and that. I don't know if I know what else, what big movies you might know him from. Yeah, if you saw him, you'd recognize him. Again, he's not one of those, like, he's more well-known, but he's never done big, big things. But, you know, whatever. Chris Christopherson has a dope-ass name. Chris spelled with a K. Christopherson spelled with a K. But, yeah, he's, you know, he's in all movies, too. Let's see, what else about this movie? I think that's really it. Spoiler alert. Blade gets basically captured by the bad guys. They do something to bleed him dry. He finds his way with help of Whistler to a giant vat of blood, just kind of located closely to where he's at. Falls into it. Gets all powered up. He gets all badass and just beats the shit out of a bunch of cops, and then kills the shit out of Ron Perlman's character by slicing him in half, which is pretty cool, because he slices him in half with his silver sword, right? And as he's splitting, you can see it start to burn and crisp because it's the silver, and of course, ashes and falls to the ground. And then Chris Christopherson shoots a bunch of vampire embryos with a shotgun, or with Reinhardt's pistol, his machine pistol, with the cool blades on him, which he never actually got to use. A lot of cool visuals, like I said. It's Guillermo del Toro's thing. It's very visual. guy. I'm pretty sure all the stuff that you see, a lot of it was not part of David S. Goyer's script. A lot of it had to come out of that dude, out of Guillermo's head, because very visually, there's this really shiny armor that they wear at one point, and there's like they're vampire ninjas at the beginning because they have like masks on, like ski masks, like the, well, they're there to cover, so they cover their mouths too. They just have eye holes where they wear goggles over them that have irises that retract and everything on there, so they can block out light. And they use swords and all sorts of guns, and you know, the blood pact is all sorts of hodgepodge of different ones. Like I said, one girl has a bunch of little like pistols. There's Donnie Yen's character Snowman has like swords, like all samurai style. Yeah, you know, whatever. It's pretty fun. Cast of characters and all. But yeah, that's it for Blade 2. I would say by far the weakest of all of Guillermo del Toro's movies, if you ask me. But still fun because it's a Blade movie and I enjoy it a lot. But yeah, that's it for this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. I am Cody. As usual, let's be awesome.